Well, the context of our readings today is that we have just celebrated Christmas, and before that we had Advent, and I was here in October when we had the same reading, Isaiah 42, 1-9, with the prophet Isaiah foretelling what was to come in Jesus. And we're not going to go through all of that now. You can listen to that sermon online. But it's linked, it's a beautiful link to Jesus' baptism, because not only does it show here, I will put my spirit upon him, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, but it shows God's promises to each and every one of us. And Timmy mentioned them in his New Year's Day service. Look at these promises, he said, and look at this as a letter from God to you. So perhaps this week you might read Isaiah 42, 1-9, excuse me, to yourself. It shows the good news. It shows the good news of joining the dots from the beginning of time to Jesus. The good news that a bruised reed won't break, a smouldering wick won't snuff out. He opens the eyes of those that are blind. He frees captives from prison. That might be prison in our minds. And to release those from the dungeon who sit in darkness. So this is appropriate for all of us, these words in Isaiah. And then we've had Advent, haven't we? We've had Christmas celebrations. I bet you had a good, great celebration here at St. John's. Yes, I thought you might. And we saw God's promises come alive. Emmanuel, God with us. And in those last couple of verses, Isaiah, it says, I am the Lord, I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. Despite the madness that is going on around us in the world, as Christians and those who love the Lord, we know that God is God, the King of Kings. So whatever anyone else thinks they are, however wonderful they think they are. I was watching a program, an archaeological program, where it said some pharaoh, it was okay because after he died, he became a god. Ooh, not sure what he had to do for that. But there is one God, God Almighty in Jesus Christ, and Emmanuel, God with us, is what we celebrate. So we then come on to this gospel reading, a very short reading, but it's a very important one. And I've put the question on the service sheet, I think. Why is Jesus' baptism important? I wondered for donkey's years, and many people are still wondering, why on earth does Jesus need to be baptized? And if you look at verse 14, even John the Baptist says, I don't need to baptize. I need to be baptized by you, and you're coming to me. So even John the Baptist didn't understand it. But Jesus' baptism is in all four Gospels. It is clearly a significant moment. Jesus had been living in relative obscurity as a carpenter and waiting for that moment. And John, in the meantime, had had his calling to go out to call people to repentance. And what was happening was clearly a big movement of the Jews turning back to God, confessing, realizing that just because they were Jews didn't mean that they were able to access the kingdom of heaven. They were turning, repenting, and being baptized with water. They've understood water through creation, through Noah, through Jonah. Water's always been understood as a way that you go from death to life and being cleansed. They were turning to God. And John could see all of this happening, and Jesus heard about it. And it was his moment to step in, to receive God's Spirit, and to be the servant king. If you like, it's like Jesus' commissioning. Just want to have a look at a few things and then think about our own baptisms. Jesus here, I think three things are happening. He is identified as the Messiah. He is anointed with the Holy Spirit. And his status as the Son of God is confirmed. This is a public declaration of who Jesus is. He's not just any old prophet. Other faiths and other people think he's a very nice teacher and a lovely prophet. For us, Jesus is God. And look at how we read this. First of all, John is saying, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me. And John has already said he's already given a testimony. Let me read this in the book of John. I've opened a page here. In the book of John, it's recorded. John gives a testimony. He gave his testimony to people who were wondering who the Messiah was going to be. And he said, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. This is John telling people after the baptism. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water. The one who sent me to baptize with water told me, this is God saying, the man on him, on whom you see the Spirit come down and remains, is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And then John says, I have seen and I testify that this Jesus is God's chosen one. So we come to that baptism where it's a public declaration. Not only is John afterwards saying who Jesus is, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, a revelation. Heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Back in creation again, the dove. And alighting on Jesus. That means hovering over or being near, maybe even landing on Jesus. And then in verse 17 it says, and a voice from heaven. That is the authority of God, a voice from heaven saying, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So do you see that that's a public declaration of who Jesus is? But let's remember, Jesus was a human. We haven't heard about him for 30 years or so. And he was God. God incarnate. Emmanuel. God with us. So Jesus, the human, had to know his moment when to step onto the stage and be baptized. He had to know the moment when his adult ministry and his ministry to the Jews and the Gentiles and the whole world would begin. So that's why I say it was like his commissioning. And I think it was as important for others as it was for Jesus to hear those words from God. Because if you remember, there's been, 400 years of no prophecies, nothing happening. Everyone saying, how long, O God? How long do we have to wait? What is going on? There's been this silence since Nehemiah. And that silence was broken in this moment. It's like fusing the words at the beginning of Psalm 2 and in Isaiah, where he's saying, my spirit will be upon you. The Holy Spirit is what marked Jesus for his ministry and equipped him for the task. Because the task, of course, we know, is a call to the cross as the servant king. The task ahead was going to need the Holy Spirit, not just human strength. And of course, immediately after that, he goes into the wilderness and is tested by the devil. So Jesus' mission, apart from it being his mission, check this out. He was baptized alongside other people. He identified with the people he was going to go on to save. He was identifying with each and every one of us. And what's interesting to me about this is that the little bit at the beginning about the Jews being baptized, I often miss that in the Bible. And that nation was obviously conscious of their sin, their separating from God. And there were two certainties, I think. The voice of God confirming who Jesus was, and the certainty that his way ahead was to go to the cross for us. So in a way, as we join the dots from prophecy to baptism to birth of Jesus at Christmas, we now join the dots from Jesus into our lives today. I want to read you something. I want to read you something. Hands up if you've been baptized. It doesn't matter if you haven't. Hands up if you've been baptized. Yeah, lots of us have been baptized. So at the introduction to a baptism, thousands of people over thousands of years, hundreds of years, have heard these words. This is what baptism is, okay? Baptism marks the beginning of a journey with God, which continues for the rest of our lives. The first step in response to God's love. That is what's happening here. It's like Jesus' baptism is his first step in his mission to save the world. It's his first official step. It's a joyful moment, it says in the baptism service, when we rejoice in what God has done for us in Christ, making serious promises and declaring our faith. And it goes on to say, as you, water is also a sign of new life. We're born again by water and the Spirit, as Jesus was at baptism. And a sign of that new life, where Christ conquers the darkness of evil. Everyone who is baptized walks in that light for the rest of their lives. Those are the beginning words, and in the front of my Bible, I have got my baptism certificate from December the 6th, 1959. Whoa, do I not look 21 again? My Auntie Pat, Pat Stedman. Now, I want to tell you about Auntie Pat, because you'll all have an Auntie Pat somewhere, I'm sure. It says here, she will pray for me. She will set a good example by how she lives. She will see that I will be brought up in the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that I'm taught the faith and come to confirmation. And I will encourage her to take communion regularly. And there's a little prayer. I didn't know until about 35 years later that Auntie Pat had prayed for me every day since 1959. Do you know that prayer, and that church warden's daughter is who is here now. So our baptism isn't just a funky party. It's a great time to celebrate and rejoice what God has done for us. And in that same church, I was confirmed 13 years later. And baptism is such a significant moment for us and for Jesus. And I want to just finish really thinking about what that means, what our baptism means for us today. Because at the end of his ministry on earth, too cold to turn the pages. It's bad news. I'm normally quite warm. So at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, you will have heard of the Great Commission. It's often used when we're ordained as priests, it's used. But this is for everyone. Jesus says these words about baptism. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, here's a promise, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now that commissioning is for each and every one of us wherever we are this week, next week, and the week after. If you are an Auntie Pat encouraging someone, praying for them, if you're visiting someone and dropping a birthday card off, you are caring for them and showing them Christ's love. The Holy Spirit at work in you will help you in your workplace if you're fortunate enough to have work, if you're volunteering. If, like me on Saturday, you're an idiot freezing on a hockey pitch yesterday. Yes, we won 2-1. And it was freezing. But do you know, my lovely friends at hockey, we have some great conversations. In fact, I got a bit of promotion yesterday. They were calling me the Pope. And because I declared that somebody shouldn't have a fine, who was going to be given a fine. And I said, no, you can't call me the Pope. Roman Catholics don't have female priests. At least call me the ABC. And they were like, what's the ABC? I said, the Archbishop of Canterbury. So I got a promotion. But you know, the Holy Spirit will use your humour, your life, who you are, your skills, your gifts, your talents. There's a guy back in Exodus called Bezalel who was given the Holy Spirit to use his gifts for building, for crafting, for your heating engineers. That is what we have the Holy Spirit, is to be who we are, be more of who we are, and know that Jesus Christ lives within us every day. It's not just for the day of baptism. This was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And we'll be leading in the next few months through Lent to Easter to the cross. So we'll be joining those dots through time. But make sure that you're one of the dots who is joined up. Make sure that in your daily life, if you're having difficulties, you phone a friend who will pray with you. Make sure that you think, am I called to this? What is my calling? What am I doing specially that's so different that people see the light shining out of me? Because your baptism is the beginning of your calling. And the rest of your life is working out what your calling is. Jesus had the most tricky calling of all. And we aren't called for that. But we are called to serve in a way that brings life to the full for us. It says at the end of the baptism service, it says, Jesus said, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. That is why Jesus' baptism is important. One of the many reasons, and there'll be many I've missed, it's the beginning of his commissioning. And it's our assurance that Jesus lives within us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, I'm not sure what we